The scripture reading is found in John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, ye shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this? Amen.
In the bulletin, the title is Raising the Dead. But here you see the title, I Am the Resurrection. As I was studying it even more, I come to find out that a better title for the sermon is actually, I Am the Resurrection. So what we're going to do is we're going to go straight into the Word of God. But before we do that, before we go into the Word of God, what do? Every time we go, we pray. So let us bow our heads and ask for God's blessing. Father in heaven, Lord, we're so thankful for another day of life. Now, Lord, as we come at this hour of worship, it's not about us anymore. It's about you. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, that you may bless us with your presence. Psalm 16 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Father, we ask that your presence may be here, that you may give us joy, but that our worship may be honorable in your sight. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the title is I Am the Resurrection. Now, if you guys have your Bibles, if you could turn with me to John chapter 11. Let me get my notes out here. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. If you guys are there, say amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. So we'll get started. We'll go straight to the passage because this is kind of going to be like a little Bible study. But we're going to go straight. There's a lot of scripture that we're going to cover. So we're going to go straight to it. So John chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, now a certain man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now, it was a very small town, but Jesus would often go and visit there to get away, to retreat, to go away from the crowds and the public. After he would preach a long time, he would go to a small town named Bethany. And in this small town were three of his closest friends. And in the small town there was Mary, and there was Martha, and there was Lazarus, who dwelt in Bethany. He loved to go to their house. He loved to go to their home. Often you would find when Jesus would go into Bethany and he would go into the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, that Mary would be sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the wonderful words that Jesus has to offer. Martha would be the one serving and cleaning up the house, making it tidy, because she knows that Jesus is coming, because he would often go there to be with Martha, Mary, and also Lazarus. Martha and Mary noticed that Jesus developed a very close bond with their brother, Lazarus. And Jesus, in Matthew 21, verse 17, after he cleansed the temple and he goes out and he preaches repentance, he then left them, the people, and went out to the city of where? Bethany, and he lodged there. Often you would find in the Bible, Jesus would leave the crowds of people and go to Bethany. And where would he go? He would go to Mary and Martha's home. He would go inside and he would be fed and he would feed them with the words of life. Lazarus was also there and he developed a very close relationship with Lazarus. But often Jesus wouldn't stay at Bethany. Jesus would leave Bethany because he had a mission to do. Remember when he was 12? He is about his father's business. So he can't stay at one place. So Jesus would often leave Bethany. One time Jesus would leave Bethany, and as he's walking into a city and going out and preaching the word of God, he gets a message. He gets a message from the town of Bethany, specifically from Mary and Martha. If you read the last part of this verse, verse 3, they say, "Lord, behold, he who you love is sick." Jesus knew immediately when Mary and Martha sent a message that it was urgent. Mary and Martha, if you notice, did not include the name Lazarus. They just said, "He who you love is sick." Because they would look and see Jesus and Lazarus would have such a good, intimate relationship with one another that they knew Jesus loved Lazarus. So they sent a message not even including Lazarus' name. If it wasn't Mary and it wasn't Martha, in the town of Bethany, the person that he loved, that he had a close, intimate relationship with Lazarus. So they just say, "Behold, he whom you love is sick." My father was hospitalized one time, and he was getting surgery. And I was at Southern at the time, and I was taking classes, and I had big tests to study for. But I get a call saying, "Your dad's going into surgery, and we'll just leave it at that." That day, I went online, found a plane ticket home from Tennessee to Michigan, flew out that same day, went back home, stayed with my father until his surgery was over and comforted him because I knew that my father was going through something. Because my father needed someone to be there, someone to comfort him as he is going through surgery. Mary and Martha thought the same thing. They thought if Jesus were to find out that Lazarus was sick, he would drop everything he has and come to see Lazarus. Maybe to comfort him. It is the one whom he loves. Why not? Why can't he come? You see, Jesus would always be at Bethany at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house when he's trying to get away from the crowds. But what about now? What about when Mary and Martha need Jesus the most? What would Jesus do? Where would he be? John 11, 5 through 6 reads, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was." Now what's interesting is here in verse 5, it almost seems like this verse shouldn't even be included in Scripture. This part of the verse doesn't seem to make sense in the context that it's in. Now, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." But in verse 3, we go back, jump a couple verses. It says, "Therefore the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick." Now, Mary and Martha knew that Jesus loved Lazarus because they would see him, Jesus, with Lazarus a lot of the time. So they said, they sent him a telegram saying, "Look, he who you love is sick." But the word that they use here in verse 3 in the Greek, the word love is phileo. That's the phileo type love. It's a type love that you have a brotherly kindness kind of love. An intimate relationship, yes, but more of a close-knit relationship, a brother type. One-on-one, individual type love. But in verse 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." The word is not phileo. The word here is agapao. Now yes, phileo and agapao can be used simultaneously. They can be used in the same context, in the same way. But if the context is close together, verses apart, one or two verses apart, what the author is trying to say is he's trying to get a different theological message with the two words. The first word means, the phileo means a brotherly kindness, intimate relationship type love. But agapao, if it's used in a context that's close together, then it could mean the type of love that God has for his children. A deeper type of love. Now what does this mean? Well, this means that when Mary and Martha sent the telegram to Jesus, They sent a telegram to Jesus telling Jesus the type of love that he had for their brother. The type of love that they understood. Not the actual type of love that Jesus really did have. You see, Mary and Martha would know because they were with Jesus and Lazarus at the same time. So they would see them together. But Jesus, according to the author John, says that Jesus didn't love them with a phileo type love. But rather, Jesus loved them with an agapao type love, a deeper type love that they themselves didn't understand. Do you believe that Jesus has a love for you that you might not understand? Jesus might have a love that you think you might understand, but in reality, it's a deeper type love. It's like an author of our life is writing a book and he's saying it's not this type of love, it's deeper. Is it a type of love that you might not have found yet? Even in Scripture. Sometimes in Scripture we see instances that it seems that there is the apparent love of God is not there. It's forsaken. There's certain situations in Scripture where you find that how in the world can Jesus do this type of thing to this person? I don't understand it. It's very difficult to comprehend. But could it be that we are just on the surface, like Mary and Martha, that we aren't recognizing the deeper love that Christ has for his people? And so you want to search out that love. Now, in the Bible, I want to encourage you this week to look through the Bible and see stories in the Bible that you find of Jesus healing people, but also of instances where it seems that the love of God is not there. The apparent surface type love, rather than the deeper type love, the agapao that God has for his children. Now we're going to go to a verse that kind of illustrates this point. But in 1 second, we're going to go to that because I want to still go with this verse. It says, now when Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, verse 6, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Okay, this is interesting. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so. So can be used as an adverb or a conjunction, right? So as an adverb means to a great extent. For instance, God so loved the world, right? How much did he love the world? So much, to a great extent, right? That's what so could mean. Or so could mean a conjunction, right? It's combining two sentences together, two thoughts together. This is not used as an adverb, but rather a conjunction, the word so. So is used as a conjunction. And it could mean, so could mean therefore or for this reason. That's what so could mean. And in New King James Bible, it says therefore, right? So can mean for this reason or therefore. Now, I want to use for this reason. Okay, now let's read together this verse again. Verse 5. Now, when Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, for this reason, for what reason? That he loved them, right? For this reason, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, when he was sick, he did what? He stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. That's why I say it almost seems like verse 5 shouldn't even fit in there. It makes no sense. Jesus loves Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And when he finds out that Lazarus is sick, he stays. Does that make any sense? Like my dad, when he was in the hospital and I found out that he was sick, I left immediately. Why? Because you want to be there closest to the ones you love. You want to comfort them in the time of their most need. He stayed at the place where he was. So I had questions. I said, why didn't Jesus go to Lazarus right when he found out that he was sick? Does this mean that Jesus forsakes us at our weakest moments? Lazarus' weakest moment, Jesus wasn't there. Is this what this verse means? But then we have a contradiction. Jesus loves Lazarus. Jesus used this apparent failure on Jesus' part to show up as making it into one of God's greatest miracles. And we're going to read that. But before, the same thing like I was telling you earlier, some people and some stories in the Bible actually questioned Jesus' authenticity. They did what? They questioned Jesus' authenticity. How? Jesus apparently would look like on the surface that he didn't love the person or love them at all. Apparently on the surface, it looked like a different type of love. But they didn't understand it was a deeper kind of love. And we're going to look at a situation like this with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in the wilderness preaching, right? How many of you are outdoorsy people? A couple of you? Okay, me. I'm outdoorsy when it's warm. So I love the warm weather when it's outdoorsy. But when I go outside, I love being outdoor. But those who are farmers or those who like being outside, they can tell you that they would rather be outside than in a city or confined in their home. Now, John the Baptist was out in the wilderness. He was preaching. He was baptizing people in the Jordan. And then he was put under Herod's jurisdiction, put in a jail cell, and he couldn't go outside any longer. So now he was put in a jail cell. He was hearing about the things that Christ was doing. And he starts doubting. He starts doubting. He starts questioning Jesus' authenticity. Does Jesus love John enough to free him from his anguish and pain? Well, here in Matthew 11, verses 2 to 3, it says, "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Are you the coming one or what? Or do we look for another?'" There was doubt in John's mind of whether Jesus was the actual Messiah or not. He asked the question. Told him to send two disciples, go ask Jesus, "Are you the coming one or should we look for another?" Now, I want you to remember that this is the John who was preaching about the Messiah. This was the John who was pointing people to Jesus and telling them to go get baptized by him. This is the John who baptized Jesus himself and he witnessed the glory of God. And now he's in prison and he has doubts. Why does John have doubts? Did Jesus forget about him? Right now, this is what he feels like. The apparent failure on the love of God. He feels as if God does not notice him. He's in prison while he's doing things outside, working for the Lord. Now we continue on. When Jesus answered and said to them, when the two men came, they answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Go and tell John." Now this is interesting because John is where? He's in prison. He's hearing about the things that Jesus was doing. Isn't that when John heard in prison about the works of Christ, what did Christ do? He told him the works. Why not just answer John and say, "John, it's okay. I'm the Messiah. It's okay. Ask me the question. I'm the Messiah. I'll answer you straight." No, he tells him more about the works. When John hears about the works, Jesus tells him more about the works. Why? Because Jesus knew that John knew the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the Messiah who was to come was the Messiah who would do all these things. His works would prove that he is the Son of God. So Jesus says, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Go tell John, because he knows the Old Testament. If he just focuses on the Old Testament, he will realize that I am the Messiah. So point him back to Scripture. Let him know that it's okay. But Jesus doesn't end there. He finishes off and says, "And blessed is he who is what? Who is not offended because of me." Now this is a very interesting verse. Offended. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. What does that mean? That's kind of like a weird verse to have in here as well. Offended? Like, did he get offended? Blessed is he who is not offended at me. But in the Greek, the better translation, the more accurate translation, or I wouldn't say accurate, I would say the more revealing so you can understand translation, because I didn't understand that either, was blessed are those who do not cease to believe in me. Offended means cease to believe. All right? You guys understand that? Cease to believe. That's what offended means in this context, is cease to believe. So we read this verse, and Jesus is saying, and blessed is he who does not cease to believe in me. You guys understand that? Jesus is telling John, look at the works that I'm doing. Look at everything that I'm doing out here. And I know you're in prison. But John, don't lose your faith. Even when times get hard, John, don't lose your faith. I have not forgotten about you. Amen? When we're going through the most difficult times in our life, does Jesus forget about us? Jesus is asking us to not forget our faith. Do not cease to believe in me, John. I believe, I know that you're there. Now, there's a quote in Desire of Ages. It says this: too many minds, a deep mystery surrounds the fate of John the Baptist. They question why he should have been left to languish and die in prison. Gladly would he have delivered his faithful servant. Gladly what? Gladly he would have delivered his faithful servant. Jesus would have delivered his faithful servant. What would he have done? Gladly delivered his faithful servant. But, notice this, but for the sake of how many? But for the sake of thousands, who in after years must pass from prison to death, John was to drink the cup of martyrdom. As the followers of Jesus should languish in lonely cells or perish by the sword, the rack, the faggot, apparently forsaken by God and man, what a stay to their hearts would be the thought of John the Baptist, to whose faithfulness Christ himself had borne witness, had passed through a similar experience. Why was John put through that situation? For the sake of how many? Thousands. Jesus knew that John could handle it, that John could go through it, and because of his faith, it would increase the faith of those who would have to go through a similar experience. And she ends, who passed through a similar experience. As with John the Baptist, Lazarus was put through a difficult test. Sometimes we forget about Lazarus in this story. Lazarus was sick and he died. You could imagine when the message was sent out to Jesus and Lazarus was in his deathbed dying, that Jesus didn't come. And so Lazarus now dies. But why does God put him through that difficult situation? Well, it was for the people also around him. Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha needed to know what Jesus was about, what Jesus was doing. The people who were around Lazarus, some of them didn't believe in the resurrection. Some of them didn't believe of eternal life afterwards. And Jesus was going to show through this experience, through this raising of the dead, of his divinity. Of his what? His divinity. God was going to show his power. And a great miracle was to take place by using the situation of Lazarus, because Jesus did not forget about Lazarus, as he didn't forget about John the Baptist. Jesus is always there going to perform an even greater miracle than the devil can throw out. And so Jesus goes back in verse 17 of John chapter 11. And so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb how long? 4 days. Jesus wasn't back in time. He had already been in the tomb for 4 days. That means that Lazarus was dead. Goes on to say in verse 21, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had what? Been here, what would have happened? My brother would not have died. Do you know what the question is? The implicit question? Why weren't you here? Jesus, you often would go from Judea and Galilee, from the surrounding people around you, and you would come to Bethany, and my doors would always be open, and I would serve you food. Mary would sit at your feet. You would come when the crowd was pressing you, but Jesus, what about now? What about when we needed you the most? Where were you? And that thought is placed by Satan in her heart. And then she shakes it off a little bit. And the next verse she says, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. What does Jesus say? Your brother will what? Your brother will rise again. She gets a hope in her heart. She starts realizing maybe Jesus is right. Her heart starts becoming more open. She starts realizing, wait. She starts thinking, Jesus can raise the dead. Your brother will rise again. You see, during this time, the Sadducees denied the resurrection. The Pharisees accepted the resurrection. There was actually a drift between the two. Some people disagreed about the resurrection. Some people denied the resurrection. Martha, though, believed in the resurrection. And she knew about 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Well, the thought of it. She knew about it. It says, for the Lord will descend from heaven with a what? A shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. When you hear the trumpet of God, this is correlating with the second coming. The trumpet of God is correlating with the second coming, and the shout is correlated with the second coming. And the dead, who will rise first? At the second coming, the dead will rise first. So when Jesus comes for the second time, the dead who are in Christ will rise up and meet the Lord in the air. What time does this take place? The second coming. So Martha understood that. This is the teaching back in the day, of course. She understood that. And so Martha replies back in John chapter 11, verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection when? At the last day. Jesus, I know that my brother Lazarus will rise again. Yes, it's true. At the resurrection day. But Jesus, what about now? What about at this moment? I know he will rise at the resurrection, but what about now? You see, what Mary didn't understand was that the same person who was going to raise the dead at the resurrection day was the same person who had life in himself standing before her eyes. She did not realize that one sentiment. And Jesus was trying to help Mary understand that it's not so much to believe in the event, in the what? Event of the resurrection, as much as to believe in the person of the resurrection. What was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to make Martha believe not so much in the event of the resurrection in the future at the second coming, as so much as what? As the person of the resurrection. Jesus answered and said to her, verse 25, I am what? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in who? Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever believes in who? Me shall never die. Do you what? What word occurs three times? In this verse right here, in these two verses, what occurs three times? What word? Believe. Believe. The same thing that Jesus was telling to John, do not cease to believe, is what Martha is doing. Are you ceasing to believe in me? You see, it's not the event, it's the person. Jesus says, do you believe this? Jesus is trying to get across to us, do you believe this? Do you believe in me? Do you believe in me? You see, the book of John, this is written in the book of John, right? You guys have this in your Bibles. You're reading from the book of John. Do you know what the book of John is for? Was written for? The book of John was written for so that you may believe that Jesus is divine, is the Son of God who came into the world. All the stories in the book of John are one-on-one encounters of how Jesus changed a person's life. You see Nicodemus, when he comes to him by night, the man that was born blind, the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus has one-on-one encounters, and John puts these stories in there so that you may believe that when Jesus comes encounter with you, that you can have a changed life. A one-on-one encounter. Jesus can change your life. Do you believe that? You see, in John chapter 20, verse 30, 31, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. He did many other signs. John just picked out the few. But these are written that you may believe, that you may what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that what? Believing you may have what? Life in his name. The book of John was written so that you may believe. That you may believe in Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Matthew records the word believe 11 times. The word is pisteo in the Greek. Believe. He records it 11 times. Luke records it 9 times. Mark 15 times. But in the book of John, the word believe is recorded more than 100 times. Because Jesus, John, what he's trying to do is help you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. God gave a glimpse through the story of the raising of Lazarus of Jesus' divinity. That Jesus has power to raise the dead. He would prove through the raising of Lazarus what it would be like for the saints at the last day. So he not only proclaimed his power, but he also showed what would happen to the saints at the last day when they were to be resurrected. Jesus says in John chapter 11, verse 38 and through 44, we're going to read it from the Bible. We're going to finish the story. John chapter 11, 38 through 44, and I'll have it here on the screen so you guys can go to your Bibles. John chapter 11, 38 through 44. The Bible says, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, verse 38, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he had been there, he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her in verse 40, did I not say to you that if you would what? That if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may, what? Believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Certain authors said that Jesus had to say, Lazarus, come forth, because if he didn't, all would have rose up from their grave. He called him by name, because the dead in Christ were just awaiting that call. So he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, what? Loose him and what? Loose him and let him go. You see, when Lazarus was dead, they wrapped him, they embalmed him, they put him in grave clothes, and they put him in the tomb. And so when Jesus got there, he is the resurrection and the life. He said, move away the stone. They moved away the stone, and I could just imagine peeping inside that cave, the darkness surrounding Lazarus. He looks straight at him because the light of the world is standing right before him, and he yells, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus stands up, and Jesus says, loose him and let him go. I believe this has a twofold meaning. Lazarus was covered in grave clothes, and he had to be loosed. But also Lazarus was surrounded by the pains of death. And God is essentially saying to death, loose him and let him go. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am what? I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of what? If God has the keys to death, God has the power to help you overcome anything that you're struggling with. If God can bring back to life those who are dead, I'm sure he can bring back to life those who are spiritually dead. God has the keys. God has the power. Why? Because he is alive forevermore. He overcame death. Now he has the power over death. Do you believe that? Amen. In order to one day give us life, Jesus had to die. Imagine the life giver on the cross. The person who has life, original, unborrowed, underived, is on the cross. And he gives his life so that you and I may have life. God had to make the ultimate sacrifice to die on the cross so that we could have life and live for eternity with him. Is that an amazing promise? There's a story that I want to share with you. In the efforts resulting from an earthquake in China in May 2008, a woman was found. The rescue team went over to the place where she was at and found out that she had already been dead. But they could see through the rubble an opening. And in this opening, they looked inside and they saw the woman's posture. The woman was kind of bent over as if she was praying, like in old times. And they saw her. The rescue team went over and the guy stuck his hand in the debris and kind of felt around and squeezed her to see if she was alive. He hit his baton across the building just to make sure she was dead. Nothing. So the rescue team moves to the next building and one of the rescuers shouts, they say, come back, come back. What he had done was the rescuer reached into the debris and felt something in between her. Do you know what it was? It was a child, a baby, 3 to 4 months old. This child was being protected by his mother in a certain position that he was sleeping peacefully in her arms, unscathed, untouched by the debris around them. They lifted up the debris off of her, they cleaned up the area, and they took the baby safely out. The baby was wrapped up in a blanket, a floral color pattern, and they passed around this baby to the doctor. The doctor looked at the baby, and he saw something interesting. Inside the blanket, there was a phone. And the phone, they opened it up, and they read the screen. And the screen said something like this, "My dearest child, if you are able to survive, you must remember that I love you. My dearest child, if you are able to survive, you must remember that I love you." The phone was passed around. Everybody who saw it started crying. The doctor, who had seen trauma and death throughout his entire career, held this baby crying, knowing that the mother gave her life so that the baby may live. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, we were his babies. Jesus was on the cross, and he died for you and for me. And he writes us a message in Scripture saying, "My dearest child, you must remember that I love you. Do not ever cease to believe that." Jesus is the one who loves us. He is the resurrection and the life. We must believe that even though circumstances may look bleak, even though our situation may look rough, we may not be able to see the end of the tunnel. Jesus is there because he loves us. He has a greater plan for all of our situations. But what God is asking us to do is to not stop believing, to continue to believe in Him. So, my appeal for you for this week is to say, God, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to understand the resurrection in the light of the person, not the event. I want to understand Scripture, not as in a whole bunch of theological messages, but I want to understand Scripture as a person, as an individual, as Jesus Christ Himself. I want to search for Jesus and know Him better. If you want to say that with me, just raise your hand as we bow our heads. Father in heaven, you see the raised hands. Lord, we've known from Scripture that you are the resurrection and the life. You sent your Son to die so that we may live. This Sabbath, Lord, we want to honor you by searching out Jesus for ourselves, to have a one-on-one encounter with the life giver that He may give us life. Death is inevitable to us all before the second coming. So we may ask, Lord, that you give us in our hearts the assurance to know that you have the power to resurrect the dead. And even though you have the power to resurrect the dead, that even when we are alive right now, you have the power to help us overcome sin. Give us that strength from day to day and help us this week to search out the person of Scripture, the author. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.